Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to examine what John taught about the law of love. So let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, and read those verses again together. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, on the last broadcast, we saw how John linked both light and life to salvation. And here in these verses, we see why John made that connection. John tells us here that if we do not love the brethren, we are walking in darkness. Now, this has particular ramifications to us today, so I want you to listen very closely to what John is saying here. John teaches that loving the brethren is not optional. We must understand, beloved, that loving those whom Jesus has saved is not a choice that we have. It isn't that some people love the brethren while others who are equally saved do not love the brethren. No, no. John teaches here that loving the brethren is part and parcel to what it means to be saved. In other words, John is saying here that loving the brethren is what defines salvation. We who love the Lord in this country have an enormous obstacle to overcome that others who serve the Lord in other countries and who serve the Lord throughout other times do not have and did not have. Over the last 100 years or so, we have mixed what being an American means with what being a Christian means. This mistake is what is called the Americanization of Christianity, or the Americanization of the church. And we have to be very careful about this issue, beloved. Our loyalty must be God before government, Christ before country, and biblical truth above American ideals. Many times American ideals are the same as biblical truth. More than any other country in history, our American system promotes biblical morality many, many times in many ways. But there are occasions when America is at odds with Scripture. And there are times when our government and our country and certain American ideals are at odds with God and with Scripture. And at those times, beloved, we must be clear. Our first loyalty is with Jesus, and we will stand with him. For example, there is an American ideal that we highly value called American individualism. This idea teaches that our freedom, our ability to do what we want, when we want, and as we want, is the highest and greatest of all ideals. But that concept is what the Bible calls doing right in your own eyes. And it is not a noble ideal to God. It is sin. You see, brothers and sisters, the very essence of being a Christian is that of gracious, humble, and joyful submission to the Word of God. The very essence of being lost is to follow your wicked heart and do whatever you want to. America teaches that being an individual, doing things my way, living my life according to the dictates of my own heart, is noble and correct and is even admired. But the Bible teaches that when we are saved, we die to ourselves. We give up our own dreams, our own personal ambitions, and our own fleshly lusts and cravings, and we do what Jesus did. We speak what Jesus spoke, and we live as Jesus lived. The very definition of being a Christian was summed up when John Baptist referred to his position with Jesus in John 3 verse 30 and said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Any doctrine, any teaching, anyone who teaches that we are to be made much of, or that we are to grow in importance after we are saved, or that we are to become first and the best and the greatest after we are saved, is wrong and is fighting against the very foundational principle of Christianity. Christianity is all about Jesus being made much of. It is Jesus who is the best and the brightest and the greatest. It is Jesus who is to be the head, and it is Jesus who is to be first and to be on top, and not us. America is great about giving people opportunity and to reward those who work hard and are blessed to be born as gifted individuals. But Christianity does not teach that we are to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Now, the Bible says that whatever we have that is good is an undeserved gift from a loving God to a wretched sinner, and that we possess no good thing in ourselves. American free enterprise is a wonderful tool that rewards effort, but the very essence of Christianity is grace, unmerited favor, that we do not deserve and that we cannot earn no matter what we do. The Pharisees taught a very unscriptural and cruel theology of reward and punishment. These false teachers taught that wealthy people were highly favored by God and that poor and sick people were cursed by God. That's the Pharisees. But Jesus shattered those two myths when he told people in John 9 that the man who was born blind was not born that way because of any sin that he had done, nor because of any sin that his parents had done. And when Jesus told Peter and the rest in Matthew 19 that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it was for a rich man to go to heaven, they screamed in absolute unbelief. Some godly people have been chosen throughout time by God to have great wealth, and that's fine. But those people are few and very far between. For the most of us, we are not noble in our pursuit of great wealth. We are simply covetous. The Bible does not teach that God will reward all godly people with money. Neither does the Bible teach that God will punish all bad people with cancer. That's simply not true. Some godly people die with horrible diseases, and some evil men prosper in this life. That is a mystery, but one that is clearly taught throughout the entire Bible. So if we are to be biblical believers, we must guard our hearts that we do not simply become Americans who have justified our own way of life by spiritualizing it. In addition, those of us who live down here in the South have another problem to overcome besides the Americanization of Christianity, and that is a type of Southern morality which many times is looked on as being the same thing as biblical morality. Being a good old boy is not the same thing as being saved. Being polite and saying yes ma'am and no sir is wonderful, but it is not the same thing as being born again. Christians are supposed to have a high moral standard, but Christianity is not moralism, beloved. Buddhists, Hindus, and Mormons, and even some atheists have a high moral standard, yet that morality has nothing to do with being saved. It is fine to wave the flag. I wave the flag. I tear up every single time the Star Spangled Banner is played. But being patriotic is not the same thing as being born again, and we must say this so that the two do not get confused. So be careful, beloved, that we do not mix being an American with being a Christian, because God is not an American. God does not wave our flag. God is not patriotic. God does not watch the Dallas Cowboys. God is not on our side. God is not on our team. We must struggle and work very hard so that we are on God's side. And if we do, then God will be with us. And if we do not repent and get on God's side, then the United States will become just the latest country added to the long list of countries who knew God throughout time and yet forgot him, who were blessed by God and spurned his love, and who tried to rebel against God and failed. John says there is a way to know if we are saved, and it's not by praying a prayer. It's not by walking down an aisle. It isn't by shaking the preacher's hand. It's not by making a decision. It's not by accepting Jesus into your heart. John said there are two unmistakable ways, two undeniable facts that we can have constantly working in us, whereby we can know that we are saved, and those two attributes are that we obey what Jesus said to do, and that we love the brethren. Now I want to look very carefully at how John begins this portion of his epistle. Let's examine verses 7 and 8 again, which says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Now, at first, John looks like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth here. In verse 7, John says that this is not a new commandment. Then in verse 8, he says that loving the brethren is a new commandment. Well, which one is it? Is loving the brethren an old commandment or a new one? The answer is that it is both an old and a new commandment. Let me explain. First of all, the command to love the brethren is ancient. In Leviticus 19, verse 18, we read this: "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So clearly we can see that God was not talking about our next door neighbor here, but he was talking about the sons of your people. In other words, God was addressing only the Jew at that time, the chosen of God at that time, in this verse. And all throughout the Old Testament, God instructed that the Jew treat the other Jews with great love, mercy, and tenderness, precisely because they were the people of God. So when John is instructing the New Testament church, he is giving them the very same ancient commandment that the people of God always had from God. People of God are to love people of God. But as we are well aware, we do not have the human capacity to obey these commands from God perfectly unless and until the Holy Spirit resides within us. No human being has the ability to keep God's law in his own power. Obeying God is not simply a matter of willpower. It isn't that you can make up your mind and that in the end, and of yourself, give what you need to obey God's law. We know that no man successfully ever kept God's law. Not Moses, not Abraham, not Isaiah, not Paul, not us, not anybody. Disobeying God's law is what sin is. And we know that the Bible clearly teaches that all men are sinners, in that all men break God's law. John says that if any man says that he's not a sinner, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. In addition, if any man says that he keeps God's law, he makes Jesus to be a liar, because Jesus came and died precisely because we are sinners and do not keep God's law. So, while loving the brethren is not new and has always been a command from God to his people, no man has the ability in and of himself to keep that command without the power of the Holy Spirit that only comes through salvation. So in that sense, that unless and until we are saved, we do not have the power or the ability or even the desire to love the brethren. So this command in this sense is new and not old. The command to love all the brethren is old in the sense that it has always been required, but this same old command is also new in the sense that only through Jesus do we have the power to actually do it. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.